Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now, for the third consecutive year in 2009, the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, number four goes to you, Russ. Jeff Overton, who we've talked about on the show a little bit, has to play this week, this upcoming week, because he ranks number 126 on the money list. And as you know, you need to be 125 to be exempt, with just one remaining after this week. He's hurt because he underwent an emergency appendectomy just 2 weeks ago. The operation followed a fifth-place finish at the Valero Texas Open. Overton was looking forward to playing the Fries.com Open in Arizona, where he has played a lot of golf. Instead, he found himself on the operating table at a nearby Scottsdale Mayo Clinic, where doctors inserted three metal rods through his navel. Ouch.
Oh,
that is painful just thinking of it. Why do they always have to do stuff through your navel?
Man.
And removed his appendix before it burst. Doctors have told Overton he's risking a possible hernia by playing this week, but Overton's going to play. He figures he needs to make somewhere in the area of $40,000 to $50,000 over the next 2 weeks to secure two events to secure his card. How impressive is Jeff Overton for playing, and how smart is he for playing?
Well, he's risking further injury, it sounds like, to that abdomen, so it might not be the smartest thing, but I'll tell you, it's pretty gutsy. I'm not going to say he's, you know, up there with Willis Reed hobbling on one knee for the Knicks and stuff like that, but the golf swing, there's no doubt about it, Pat. You know this with a sore back right now. You haven't hit a golf ball in quite a while because you've got a sore back. The golf swing puts so much torque on the torso area, the front part, which, of course, is the abdomen, and the back part, which is your back, your upper back and your lower back, you know, the winding and the unwinding of the torso. And if you've got a surgical scar in that abdomen area, in your belly button, after having three metal rods put through it a couple weeks ago, there's no doubt that it probably, A, hurts and probably affects his swing, and B, you know, unfortunately for him, if he does it enough over the next 2 weeks, if he does it too much, he might injure something in there. So I think it's awfully gutsy of him. You know, here's the thing. Many skeptics who are not golfers and not golf fans say that golf is not a sport. They say it's a skill. You know, a skill is like playing billiards or bowling, and they say golf belongs in that echelon. I say this is an example of why golf is a sport, because guys that are hurt, it's awfully hard to play at a very high level if you're hurt in some way, especially in the abdomen torso area.
This just seems to scream for that medical exemption type thing that the PGA Tour gives out to guys in this type of situation. I understand maybe he doesn't have enough, you know, wins or whatever you need to get that exemption, and that's why he's doing this. But at the same time, do you really want guys out there, you know, risking something popping out of them because they need to, you know, finish somewhere to get 40 or 50,000 bucks?
They have to make an extra 40 grand.
I mean, you want Jeff Overton out there, you know, bleeding all over the place because he popped some stitches or whatever. I don't know. I think this is one of those situations where maybe they say, hey, we'll let you play in the first two events next year or something to get your card, or I don't know how.
It would be a minor medical exemption. Give him a couple events next year to make up for these last two he's missing this year to make up that 40 grand. And if he does, give him his tour card.
I mean, I applaud the, like you're saying, the guts, and not to, you know, make light of it, the gutsiness of it. But at the same time, I really question sort of the intelligence of it, because he could really do some damage here.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And topic number five, Pat, goes to you. Speaking of wrenched backs, perhaps hitting a 418-yard drive could wrench your back, and that's exactly what 20-year-old Canadian Jamie Sadlowski did last week. He reared back and launched a record-setting 418-yard drive to claim the 2008 RE/MAX World Long Drive Championship and the $250,000 first-place prize, the previous world record for a drive hit on a level ground with no gradient, you know, downhill, and with no wind aid, was 412 yards set by Jason Zuback a couple years ago. So now the new world record, 418 yards, Pat. Where is the limit? How far is it humanly possible to hit a golf ball?
I'm almost impressed with Dan Baver's 366-yard for a senior. Hitting at 366, that's scary to me. As you know, I'm lucky if I can crank it out there 280 anymore. But I don't know, Russ. I you know, 418, I mean, that's just that's stuff of fairy tales to me. You're talking about driving a 418 yard hole, which not too long ago would have been considered a fairly long par four,
right. And not with wind, and not with the wind with you.
So you're just cranking that thing out there straight 418. I don't know what the ultimate is. Hey guys, are as long as the equipment keeps progressing and the golf ball, whatever they're doing to it, you could be hitting the ball 500 yards, I guess.
Let me ask you this. If Tiger, because we realize these long drive champion players, like the Jamie Sadlowskis of the world, like the Jason Zubaks of the world, like the Brian Pfisters, our friend the Beast, who we had on the show a couple months ago, they practice only for this. So they use a club that has a very bouncy face. They use like a 47 or 48 inch long shaft.
Extremely stiff.
Which is maybe like 3 or 4 inches longer than tour players use. And they tee the ball up, I mean, like 6 inches high, and they hit with an upswing type of motion instead of with a level type of motion, which most guys use with their driver. If Tiger Woods were to do all those things, if he would put in an extra 3 or 4 inches in his shaft, if we were to tee his ball up another 3 inches to 6 inches and take kind of an uppercut swing, do you think he or any of the longest drivers on tour, would they be hitting balls this far?
That I don't know. I mean, I would never say anything about Tiger because he's a one in a million type player. But it's like you said, these guys are extremely specialized in doing this. And I mean, they've worked for years on this type of swing. And I actually saw them do it in super slow motion one time. And I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Peter Kostas or something. But he basically said, the normal swing is like you're saying, is to try and, like you do with every other club, trying to drive through it where you get your head back to the ball as your swing's coming through it and drive through it. In this case, what you're actually doing is almost, it's sort of a reverse pivot. Your head's moving back away from the ball as you're swinging your behind off. And it to get you extra torque or whatever, follow through it. So your head's actually, from the video thing I saw, moving back with these guys. So it's a different almost type of
swing.
And you're swinging upwards.
Yeah.
So you're not swinging down through the ball. You're swinging up through it to launch
it. Give it top spin.
And, I don't know if some of the pros, that really hit the ball long now really wanted to do this, I guess they could work on it, but
they never would because it would ruin their swing.
It was. Yeah. It makes it almost impossible to try and hit an iron after swinging like that.
Right.
So, but to your question, sure, I think guys can hit 500 yards at some point if they want to.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa.
All right, Russ, last one goes to you. I don't want a spoiler alert because this event's going to be on in December sometime, but nonetheless, Hunter Mahan beat fellow American Ryder Cupper Anthony Kim on the second playoff hole this past Tuesday to win what's called the Kiwi Challenge. Obviously takes place in New Zealand. Mahan shot 65 on the par 72 Cape Kidnappers course in New Zealand to tie Kim at 7-under and then won it in the playoff. So, it was Anthony Kim, Brett Snedeker, and Australian Adam Scott in this four-man event, which Mahan eventually won. Is this a great new event, Russ?
It's a great new event, and I'm going to be watching in December when it finally makes it on a TV. I believe it's going to be on NBC, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago before they taped it last week that Stevie Williams, Tiger Woods' caddy, who is a native New Zealander, is on this broadcast as the analyst. So there's two reasons for me to want to watch it. A, how can you get a better finish than two young studs, fellow American Ryder Cuppers, Hunter Mahan and Anthony Kim, going to playoff holes? I mean, that's just phenomenal drama right there. I can't wait to see that. And B, I'm just, kind of the curiosity factor. I'm curious to see, or actually curious to hear, what kind of things Steve Williams says during this two-day event on the air as an analyst. I'm curious to see if he, compares any of these guys to Tiger Woods. I mean, this is going to be a fun two-day event to watch. Now, yes, it's a silly season event. It doesn't really mean much. And Hunter Mahan, picks up a $1.5 million check for 2 days of work, which is mind-boggling. But this is going to be awesome to watch in December, no doubt about it.
This is really where golf, in my opinion, needs to go, Russ, if we're going to go with this basically 12 months of golf per year, which I don't think we should do. I think golf, like I've said multiple times, should basically end after the PGA Championship. You do some kind of tour championship a couple weeks after that, and then you have the President's Cup or the Ryder Cup, and that should be the official end of it. No more FedEx Cup, no more Fall Series. But you, what you could do is have events like this where you, you, if you can get Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or whoever, even if it's a bunch of young up and coming guys like these guys that, that are going to be the next generation, and put them in these types of circumstances, put them in exotic courses around the world, have them battle it out. I think the money's a big issue, but nonetheless, I think they just want to beat each other because it, it is kind of the next generation. They want to see how their games stack up against another young, you know, up-and-coming type person. But the fall series and all that stuff, this would hold more interest to me than watching something, you know, that, that is essentially meaningless because all the big players aren't playing in it. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, seeing this. And just like you say, see how Steve Williams, how he analyzes and critiques these guys. If he throws in Tiger would never do that or something. I want to know that.
If he does that, oh, man, I wonder what Tiger's reaction would be. Because, you know, Tiger, he doesn't like his caddies talking out of school.
That's right.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. That was another award-winning edition. I think it's our 45th award this year, Pat, for our 45th episode, of course, of our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it is, of course, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Have you ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on a course the pros play? It can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course, a wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and the Honda Classic. The Arnold Palmer-designed course and their three other courses, their Hague, Squire, and Estates, are just as devilish, making PGA National Florida's premier golf resort destination. PGA National has just been renovated as well, so everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby, its new hip restaurant, the Ironwood Grill, and the new hip eye bar, it's all fabulous, and it's time to experience all of it in person, not just watching it on TV. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with your instructor, go to PGAResort.com or call 877-742-6285.